We're happy to be joined by a friend of the program. He is the voice of the New England Patriots on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, the great Bob Soucy with us. Hello there, Mr. Soucy.
Hello there, Rich. This sounds like an extreme list of guests here. We're talking one range, one side of the range, and then completely on the other end of the spectrum.
Two Hall of Famers, from my perspective.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Good, thanks. Down at Gillette Stadium here on a quiet Wednesday, as it turns out, after the Patriots alone practice before they head off to the bye.
Now, I saw you had a guest in the booth the other day. Was that Gio I saw next to you in there?
No, that was Maria.
Ah.
Gio was in the back. Gio was out of camera range at that point. Maria likes to get right up there, and she will practice her commercial reads during our breaks. She gets the copy from our producer and reads, and then likes to take the headset periodically. But we had the kids in the booth for their annual visit to Gillette. They get one game a year, and they come up at halftime, and then they tend to overstay because there's free food in the press box. You know what that's all about, Rich.
I think she's just trying to get a little bit of that Bigelow team money.
Oh, that goes in the college kids.
Well, let's talk about how the season has gone so far. It's been an interesting year, to say the least, but 4 wins in the last 5 games. We'll take that, right?
Well, you never take them for granted, that's for sure. And it has been interesting, as it always is around here. Interesting in different ways, season to season and even week to week within the season. I think the biggest thing, you know, about this team is that we really don't know, whether this team is a, old Bill Parcells line, you are what your record says you are, whether this is a team that, legitimately has an opportunity to play on beyond the regular season when they come out of this bye, whether this is a team that's going to continue to do what they have done, let's say from week one, rather than just going back over the course of the last 5 games. And that's really been, a pattern of one step forward, a half step back, 2 steps forward, a step back, a step forward, and then 2 steps back. Rich, it's, and unfortunately that's been, the case for a lot of teams around the league. But, usually the Patriots, when they've had good seasons, which have been almost with regularity prior to 2020, they play their best football from this point of the season on. And we haven't seen the signs, despite, the play of the defense in the last couple of weeks. To me, as a complete football team, we haven't seen the signs that they're prepared to do anything like that at this stage. Hopefully they come out of this bye and are able to self-scout and get some things going offensively against the Jets, or it's going to continue that pattern that we've seen thus far to this point.
And obviously it's been a tough season for Mac Jones with the injury, still working his way back from that. I'm not sure play calling has always put him in the best position, but we saw the talent that he has late last season, but he has a specific skill set and has to be used in the right way.
Yeah, Rich, and it's there's a lot of factors. Obviously, play calling. It's first of all, the state of the offensive line, and really, it's been an offensive line that I think has disappointed from the start. And in the last couple of weeks, been dealing with injuries, and the loss of David Andrews is significant. Good news for them today, as we talk about this bye week and trying to have some momentum on the other side of it, offensively, and find some rhythm, is that Andrews was out there practicing for the first time in a couple of weeks after his concussion in the Patriots game, a couple of weeks ago against the Chicago Bears in that Monday night. It was one of the cheapest, dirtiest plays that I've seen in a long while, and it was one of the most important plays, really, I think, for this team in a lot of respects, that got overshadowed by everything else that happened on that night. But having Andrews back, coming up for this game, hopefully that helps to solidify some things, but you still have questions, of course, at the left guard spot. Cole Strange has been removed the last 2 weeks in favor of Isaiah Wynn at times. Wynn had lost his job at right tackle to Marcus Cannon, but then Cannon got hurt again. And just the fact that he was here, having been out of football at the start of the season, was a sign of the trouble they were experiencing up front. And Yanni Kajust, it has been an off-injured player in his career. So they've got to find some continuity up front, and they're going to have, you know, a very daunting challenge coming up because they get that Jets defensive line for the second time in a month. And, you know, we saw how much trouble the Jets created for the Patriots defensively at MetLife Stadium. And then even after the Patriots, you know, survived with a win there, thanks mostly to the Jets' poor play at quarterback, New York goes and beats the Buffalo Bills last week.
We're talking with Bob Soucy here on Downtown. Defensively, let's start with a guy who I think, if he's not in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year, something is wrong. What a season for Matthew Judon.
You know, the thing about Judon is that, you know, he's been so consistent, not only as a pass rusher this year, but I think even as a run defender. And he got a lot of praise from head coach Bill Belichick this week, Rich. And what we've seen is that, you know, to this point, I think for a nine-game stretch, you know, Matthew's not only been as good as last year getting to the quarterback, he's been even better, but I think he's been a more complete player on every down. Now the big thing for him, of course, and he's talked about this, he's been open and honest about it, the big thing for him is to finish as well as he started and as well as he's gone, you know, through the second quarter of the season. Because last year, he may have been dealing with something that, you know, we never really learned officially. There might have been an injury that affected his play. There was a lot of conjecture about that late last season. But he's talked about it. He's got to be, you know, a wire-to-wire player, and he's done some things in terms of his off-season conditioning, in terms of his in-season maintenance, you know, the prehab work, as they say, to make sure that he does finish as well as he hopes to, as well as he started this season and as well as he's been playing these last few weeks. But I agree with you. I think if he continues the way he's gone, he deserves to be in that conversation. A big part of it is how the defense plays as a whole. And, you know, the defense has really made more plays than the offense, frankly, of late. When we talk about, you know, the pick six by Jonathan Jones, and I'll extend it too to the block punt, you know, as a form of defense there. That special teams, you know, those are two touchdowns against Indianapolis. Now, one sets you up at the two, and the other gets you into the end zone to finish it off. And they go back to the Jets game, and prior to that, you know, in some of their previous wins, Detroit, a scoop and score by Kyle Duggar. You know, the pick six even at Green Bay by Jack Jones, you know, was a huge play to give them the opportunity to get to overtime in that game. So to me, the defense is really, it's played well the last couple weeks, and they've made a lot of plays. I'm not sure they can sustain that, but you know how they go, this Patriots team, you know, will have a chance to go at least over the course of, you know, the next month or so until they get things truly right offensively.
I thought it was a heck of a game too on Sunday from Josh Uche.
Yeah, it was, and I think, you know, again, you have to keep things in context and proper perspective. I think Josh is someone who is an explosive athlete. The kind of pressure he's been able to apply the last 2 weeks, and I'll tell you, I think even as important as the three sacks were against the Colts, the sack against the Jets was a real positive sign for him. He's a guy that, you know, I think people expected in year two to start to really emerge as a factor defensively, and it didn't happen in great part because of injuries, but also just, you know, a lack of consistent playing time. And I think that, you know, for the most part this year, that's been the story. For the last 2 weeks, now four sacks for him, and the explosiveness that he shows, you know, that's very encouraging to have him along with Judon as bookends, but also Dietrich Wise, who's having a good year with five sacks overall. But again, you have to keep it in perspective. They were playing against one of the worst offensive lines and two tackles, frankly, Rich, who were really overwhelmed.
Right.
And a quarterback who, you know, the Colts have gone to in a puzzling move from the outside, and one that I think has been questioned a lot on the inside there.
What's going on with Jake Bailey? This is not the guy we remember from 2 years ago.
Well, I think, you know, when you go back to his Pro Bowl season, he was fantastic in every way, not only with distance and hang time, but accuracy. Opponents that year only returned a handful of punts. I think they had only 12 return yards of Jake Bailey's punts in 2020. The last few years, it has been kind of a decline in terms of net punting for him. He went from, you know, being at the top of the league to this year being at the bottom of the league. And it's not only that, too, Rich. I think we saw early this season touchbacks, in position to pin the opponent deep, balls down the center of the field, getting into the end zone. Not expected, especially when you've given a punter a contract extension, and Jake got a good deal right before the season started, very early in training camp. With a restructure of his contract, or I should say an extension of his contract, to try to give them some salary cap relief. And he got a raise. And, you know, as one of the higher paid punters in the league, you know, you expect the consistency out of him, especially given the emphasis the Patriots place on special teams. And he's got to be better. It's been an enigma. And I do think, though, you go back to last year, it was an inconsistent season for him. I mean, he's another guy. Like Judon, I think people have speculated that, well, he might have been dealing with some kind of an injury. But this year, I don't think that's the case. This year, it's just been a very erratic season. And I think most disappointing, looking at his performance this past Sunday, is that the previous week he had a good week. And you thought, okay, maybe now he's getting back into that 2020 form. But last week was a step back.
Well, it's an interesting situation right now in the AFC East with the Josh Allen injury. The Jets certainly appear to be for real. And here you are with everybody in the division playing better than 500 ball. We were saying earlier, if only the Patriots could be in the NFC South.
Well, they benefited from an inferior East for a while. I know as many will write and say here. And I don't think you'd really dispute that too much, although I think at times the division was better than, I don't want to say they were given credit for, because, you know, for so long, the Dolphins and the Jets in particular, we're wallowing at the bottom of the division. The Bills started to turn things around under Doug Marone a little bit, and then Sean McDermott, certainly. But it's a strong division, and I think that Miami, you know, I thought that they would fall off, frankly, Rich. I thought, you know, they were a team that they had the shiny new toys, but eventually their quarterback would catch up to them, and other teams would be able to figure out a way to slow them down. But they've added to their team, and I think they've made two big acquisitions, Bradley Chubb and Jeff Wilson, at the trade deadline. You know, one, an outstanding pass rusher, which they need, and I think the other is another running back in their system, going back to, you know, Mike McDaniel's roots as a coach alongside Kyle Shanahan, with that running scheme that Mike Shanahan used for years and has followed his son wherever he's coached. You know, I think it's a good depth piece there at running back. So their offense has only gotten better, and their defense, you know, got a huge piece as well. And they've been playing much of this year with a banged up secondary. And so I think, you know, with the state of the Dolphins right now, I misread, you know, where they would be even after that week one win over the Patriots. I thought, you know, this team's going well. They got through the period where Tua was hurt. People continue to sell him short, but he continues to play well enough. He does what they need to do to be successful because of the weapons they have with all that speed.
So, Bob, what will you do with a free Sunday?
Yeah, that's the question that we've been mulling over a lot. We've had a couple of really busy weekends, even though I've been, you know, obligated obviously to call Patriots games. So they've been busy weekends for the family, and last weekend was one where it was pretty hectic. I also have a wife who has a career, which includes a conference that carries over from the end of the work week into the weekend. So for me, Sunday, this is going to be a low-key period, and I'll just hopefully enjoy some beautiful New England autumn weather and get outside enough with the kids and do something that's fun and healthy, and then, you know, try to do that so that I don't feel as guilty, you know, being a couch potato a little bit later on in the day watching some football. But I got to tell you, Richie, it's funny. I said this the other day to a friend, someone who asked me the same thing. You watch games when the Patriots aren't playing. Anytime in recent years when the Pats have been offered, they've given me an opportunity to just sit down and watch a full afternoon of football. Say it's a Thursday game or a Monday night game is around the corner. The menu of games we get, the quality of those games, the entertainment value of those games, it's far from captivating. So I've become accustomed to just counting on bad football when I have an opportunity to watch it. And this season, it seems like at any point, you know, you turn on NFL football, and it's been a subpar league in a lot of ways. You kind of expect that in September, but it really carried on throughout October and into November. So hopefully teams start, you know, more than just a couple of teams assert themselves and start playing good football in the second half. And it starts on Sunday so we can watch some entertaining football.
Well, Chris, Sunday after I've been on the road with Maine football, Sunday's my take it easy crash day, watch the Patriots, and then whatever the other game is. I find that the poor quality of football is quite conducive to a Sunday nap.
Yeah, whether I want to or not, I think I've been induced into a slumber more than once. In fact, it happened the other night on Sunday night when I came back, and I did awaken to Tom Brady and the Bucks, you know, slicing through all that Swiss, exploiting all those holes and the cushions that they were given by the Los Angeles Rams. But you know, and there's a case, Rich, you know, the defending Super Bowl champions, for whom still there were high expectations coming into the season, and you know, they're in a terrible state, and it starts in kind of the fundamental ways of an offensive line. And I just think that's rampant around the league.
Yeah, we're keeping an eye on that one too, because Maine's former offensive coordinator Liam Cohen is the guy now in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you know, there's a few Black Bears bouncing around, and you know, Liam's a guy that has a great reputation. I remember him when he was coaching in the college ranks, and you know, in a few different places, and certainly is someone that you know, I think people looked at as, you know, one of the up and comers when it comes to offensive assistant coaches. And he's, you know, he's working for Sean McVay. I think he has been billed as an offensive genius by many in the punditry world. So it's a bit surprising to see them struggling. But again, it goes back to, you know, a lot of the basics. And you look at offensive line play. And it's funny, last year they won the Super Bowl, I think, primarily because of their defensive line. And, you know, that they secured it after Cooper Kupp scored the go-ahead touchdown. It was Aaron Donald who wrecked the Bengals' last possession. And now it's the Rams' offensive line that's really in a state of disarray. And as I said, I think it's an issue that exists around the league. You know, we talked about it with the Patriots. When we look at their problems offensively, you know, I think that's where you begin. It's not the only problem. Maybe we can begin with a lot of the questions, the criticism that you posed and inferred regarding the play calling and the coaching and so forth. But on the field, in the trenches, is, you know, most important part of the game, blocking, tackling, and some would say kicking as well.
Well, it's an interesting year, to say the least. We look forward to the Jets game a little over a week. But in the meantime, Bob, enjoy a little R&R if you can this weekend, and always appreciate you making time for us.
Yeah, Rich, you know, I should have added, too, that at some point this weekend I will enjoy a frosty beverage or two.
Mm.
And, you know, hopefully we can find a good Maine brew down here. I had a Bissell Brothers last night at an event, so you know, I did get my taste of Maine yesterday, at least, but maybe we'll get another pour.
Oh, I sure hope so. Excellent. All right. Thank you, Bob. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch you again soon.
All right, Rich. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You bet. It's Bob Soucy, voice of the Patriots.